This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Bring him in, as we do every Tuesday at this time. Mike Tenenbaum, time for the Mike Tenenbaum Report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Mike, feel like $1 million today. The Giants with a great win, competing for this division. Sensational victory over the Philadelphia Eagles. Walk me through what you thought about that game. Walk me through Daniel Jones. And realistically, do you like the Giants' chances to win this division?
Yeah, Dave, you should feel great about all those things you just mentioned. And we've been talking about it for weeks. This was a team that was improving, and we can see the imprint that Coach Judge has had on this team. And it showed up in the biggest time, in the biggest game of the season against the Eagles. And the Eagles had everything going in their favor heading into that game. They got the right side of their offensive line back, you know, a guard in Isaac Salamone, who's underrated, Lane Johnson. And the thing that shocked me, if it wasn't for DeAndre Hopkins' catch, I think the thing everybody would have been talking about in the NFL was, look at the game of Jones in a second, guys. Philadelphia, 0-for-9 on third down. Truly remarkable. Going back to Jones, the thing that I thought was most impressive when you watched him play, how the ball was distributed. I think there was 8 receivers. You know, Slayton had 7 targets, but even guys like Gallman contributed. Ingram, you know, not getting a lot out of him, but he still had 3 targets. And I just like the fact that he was playing point guard out there and he didn't turn the ball over.
Mike, what's going on with Philadelphia? I mean, is it the coach? Is it the quarterback? I mean, what's the reason? I mean, you mentioned it. They were. It seemed like they were getting healthy at the right time, and the Giants. I mean, the Giants dominated them.
Yeah, Rick, I was floored because I thought like Goedert was going to be a big factor. Their tight end. They really are built to be a very good third down team. When you think about guys like Miles Sanders, Boston Scott's obviously very explosive. You know, he made the one long 56-yard run, but Carson Wentz just isn't playing well. He's not seeing the field. He's not processing. He's not playing with confidence. He just looks like a diminished skill player right now. And, you know, right now, you would say the New York Giants, remarkably this year, are the best team in the NFC East.
Wow. Mike, the last couple of games, you could see that Jason Garrett is calling the game to try to lead with the offensive line and that running game in order to get Daniel Jones settled into the game. Do you think that that could be the Giants' identity moving forward, the running game and the offensive line?
I think so. You know, they're young on the offensive line, and they're going to continue to get better. And we've talked about this, guys, multiple times on the show. There was no offseason, and Joe Judge has never coached before. So I think not only is the team improving, but he's improving as well. And I like some of the little things that we've seen, I think really has become force multipliers when you think about things like sitting down Andrew Thomas for being late, sitting down Golden Tate, not letting Golden Tate travel. Like, those things matter because now the players know, okay, that's the standard. We're going to get this thing cleaned up. There's accountability. So I think those things really matter. And if I'm the Giants, like, it does start up front. And their offensive line, look, it's not perfect. It's still a work in progress. But, you know, when you think about Thomas, Hernandez, Deet, Seitler, and Flint, like, that's a good group. You got to get Pert. I think Pert and Lemieux are 2 young guys that should continue to play more. But that is a pretty good group, and there's worse in the league, and there's probably worse in the division right now, especially when you think about Dallas and all the offensive line injuries they've had.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, you've been critical, and deservedly so, of Daniel Jones, and even suggested maybe sitting him down a little bit. Are we past that? Like, are you of the mindset that he is the future Giants quarterback, or do you need to see more over the final 6 games this season?
Yeah, I think it's heading the right direction, but like to say he's the long-term solution, we got 1 million miles to go. Like, he put 2 games together where he didn't turn the ball over, and that's encouraging. But, you know, can he do that consistently week in and week out? And again, I think when you go back to some of the things that Joe Judge has done well, you know, he's disciplined guys like Tate and Thomas, and I just feel like you can't have a different standard for the quarterback. Now, quarterback's responded. He's played well. He's a good athlete. You know, we saw him make another huge play with his feet, which I think really gives the defense huge, huge issues. So I think the ball, things are pointing in the right direction, but I think we still got a ways to go. And I'll give you a great comparison, guys. Look at New England. Cam Newton has that fumble late against Buffalo. He now goes 8 consecutive quarters without turning the ball over. New England's won back-to-back games.
Yeah, I mean, turnovers are huge. Mike, but, I mean, this isn't even, and I know it's still, I mean, there's a ways to go before, I guess, you're going to be sold on Daniel Jones. But, I mean, as far as the New York Giants drafting a new quarterback. That's not even a conversation if it's not Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields, correct?
Well, you know, yes and no. I think you always have to say, hey, are we getting better? Are we going to take the best player regardless of the position? That's what the best teams do. And, you know, Arizona took Kyle Murray, and they already had Josh Rosen. So every week, I think what Daniel Jones is, he's making deposits in the bank. He's creating equity for himself. But, look, he's still 26 in the league in completion percentage. I mean, if we just want to boil it down to the most, you know, basic things, he's 26 in yards per pass attempt. So I think we got a long way to go. And if you're sitting there and you're telling me that, you know, you got to evaluate Trey Lance and Kyle Trask, you know, there's going to be a lot of interesting quarterbacks. Zach Wilson from BYU. So besides Fields and Lawrence, we might wind up with five or six first-round picks. And I just don't think you can anoint Daniel Jones based on eight consecutive quarters of good football.
Mr. T, flipping over to the Jets, they made the announcement yesterday that Joe Flacco will be the starter out of the bye week against the Chargers and not Sam Darnold. Were you a little bit surprised by that?
Yeah, kind of disappointed. You know, I think Sam Darnold's got to play. The only way he's going to get better is to play. And I understand that, look, they're out of it. And because of that, you know, he's probably not rushing. And I'm sure, you know, he has people in his ear to say, like, hey, you got to worry about yourself in the future. But, you know, football players, it's that old expression, football players play football during football season. And the great ones figure out a way to get that done. So unless he's hurting himself long term, I was disappointed to see that.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. Mike, did Arizona do anything wrong on that play? I mean, they had three guys all around DeAndre Hopkins. The throw was
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Did Buffalo?
Yeah, thank you. He knew what I was saying. He's so smart.
I got it.
Yeah. Did they do anything wrong, or is that just a case of a great player made an otherworldly play?
Yeah, I mean, some people have made the argument that, you know, Buffalo should have had more people in the end zone, give up the 40 or 50 yard completion, and just tackle short of the end zone. But look, when you triple team a guy and he makes a play, you just tip your cap, and you know that's just a play for the ages. And DeAndre Hopkins is a great player, and you know when you're learning how to scout, and you talk about hands and hand strength. I mean, that's the textbook example of somebody that has great hands and strong hands. And the only thing that was going through my mind when that happened was like, isn't it amazing that within 34 seconds, Stephon Diggs traded from Minnesota to Buffalo, DeAndre Hopkins from Houston to Arizona, and how much those other teams miss him? Now, look, Justin Jefferson looks like he'll be a great player for Minnesota, but boy, you don't think Deshaun Watson looks at the play and wants to just throw up?
How could he not? He didn't get a first-round pick for DeAndre Hopkins. It's ridiculous. Mike Tannenbaum joins us during the show. Mike, Arizona. Is it a year too early for them, or do you feel like they really have a chance to win the NFC West?
Yeah, I think it's a little early, but they're coming. And, you know, defensively, I thought Isaiah Simmons would have been better by now. I think they're still way too inconsistent on that side of the ball. But Kyler Murray, you know, he's proving me wrong. I thought he was going to be too small, but every week he just makes more and more people miss. And when you look at the way they're built, and you look at guys like Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk as supporting receivers to Fitzgerald and Hopkins, nobody can line up with four corners that can match up with them. So they're going to be able to score. It's whether or not they're going to be able to slow people down the other side of the ball that I just think at the end of the day, that's probably going to separate the Rams and the Seahawks. Not that the Seahawks have a great defense, but I just think they're just a little bit behind, but they're coming.
Mr. T, with the news coming out of New Orleans about Drew Brees and his injury, what are they going to do with the quarterback spot? Should Jameis Winston be the guy, or should they take a serious look at Taysom Hill?
Yeah, I think it's actually a blessing in disguise, and here's why, guys. Last year, they go 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater. Jameis Winston, these numbers will shock you when I was preparing for this, guys. He's 26 years old and has started 70 games in the NFL. That's really remarkable. And if he plays well down the stretch, he's not going to be auditioning for anybody else except the New Orleans Saints. Like, think about if you're the Saints. This guy was the first pick overall. And all Jameis Winston has to do, very similar to what we already talked about with Daniel Jones, which is go play point guard. Just play point guard. That's all you need to do. You got Emmanuel Sanders, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas. Just get the ball out of your hands, clean, crisp decisions. And he could be the guy there, Chris, for the next 10 years. And if I'm the Saints, this is actually a blessing in disguise because – I got a built-in audition. Brees is going to retire, and we may have the guy right here.
Mike Tenenbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So walk me through the Monday Night Football game. Is that more of an indictment of Baltimore, or is it more that, you know what, New England is clearly not done and Belichick has something more left?
Rick, aren't you going to correct Dave to say that was
Yeah, I don't want to. I mean, I apologize, Mike. He didn't take his X2 this morning. It was Sunday Night Football. I apologize. Monday was last
night. Oh, for God's sakes. Would you stop it, really?
I mean, it's unbelievable. We only get 2 hours. All I asked
and
you
Mike,
for
Mike, you're a bad guy for throwing that his way.
He's a perfectionist.
Forget it. I'm not drinking my X2 today.
Well, hey, if you don't want to be hydrated and drink something that's clean energy and good for you, then, you know, Dave, maybe our standards are higher for you than those of yourself. What can I tell you?
Maybe they are. Let me re-ask the question. Sunday Night Football, same question applies.
So as it relates to the Baltimore-New England game, I have said this all along. We can't throw out New England for two reasons. They have the best running back room in the league. And Damian Harris, who we weren't even talking about because of Sony Michel and James White and Rex Burkhead, is a really, really good player. And I think the country saw that. They also have a really good offensive line that's getting healthier. So, again, since that Cam Newton fumble late in the game against Buffalo, they've gone 8 quarters without a turnover. It's still Bill Belichick. And I'm just telling you guys, before it's all said and done, they're going to make noise in the AFC East. And we also have to remember, there's 7 teams that make the playoffs. And if they somehow get into this thing, no one will say it publicly, but I promise you, because I've been in the building for over 20 years competing against them, no one is going to want to see that team in a one-game series in the playoffs.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, you mentioned the AFC East. Now, right now, Buffalo 7-3, they lead the AFC East. But as far as who's playing the best football in the division, it feels like the Miami Dolphins. Do they have a legitimate chance to win this division?
Yeah, here's what they're doing really well, guys. They've won 5 in a row, and the quarterback is young, and he's played, I would say, efficient with his arrow up. But they're scoring all different ways, you know, punt returns, defensive scores. They blocked the punt on the 4th play of the game, put the ball at the 1. So they're going to be in this as well. They have a really good defense, and they go out to Denver this week. If Drew Lock doesn't play, you know, that's a very wonderful game for them as well. So this AFC East will be a lot of fun to watch coming down the stretch.
Mike, what's going on with the Seattle Seahawks, man? It feels like they're hustling backwards. They've lost 3 of their last 4, and Russell Wilson is turning the ball over an awful lot since the bye week. What's going on with that team?
I think this is really going to test, you know, the open-mindedness of Pete Carroll, which is his defense is not working right now. And, you know, not just to defend a GM here, but John Schneider went out and added 3 big pieces on defense. Obviously, the big trade for Jamal Adams going back to the summer. Carlos Dunlap in the trade with Cincinnati. And then they added a really good player in Stacks Harrison at the defensive line, and they're still terrible. You know, this is a team that really misses Frank Clark, and they drafted L.J. Collier to replace him. They haven't been the same. And right now their defense is really hurting them, and that's forcing Russell Wilson to try and make plays.
Over the next 5 years, we had this conversation earlier, and Chris took one way, Rick took the other.
I was just going to ask the same question. I was going to legitimately, you're thinking just like me.
I'm sorry. It was my baby, and I'm going to ask it. I'm going to try to actually get all the facts correct in said question. Who's more promising for the next 5 years? What team? The Jets or the Bears?
Ooh, boy. I don't know. That's a good question.
See?
I'd probably go with the Bears just because I think Khalil Mack's the best player on both teams. But I don't know. It's probably a graded incomplete, to be candid.
Yeah, I just think there's an opportunity for Chicago because their defense is actually, I mean, a really good defense. There'll be a lot of – I feel like there's going to be some quarterbacks you could plug in that will be available this offseason. I mean, the Jets are a complete rebuild, but hopefully it's the Jets.
Rebuild, but at least you think the quarterback's going to be the answer when you take Trevor Lawrence.
Well, yeah. I mean, exactly. Just like you thought that Sam Darnold would be the answer. I mean, it's the Jets. Let's not forget that.
But, Mike, you feel better about Trevor Lawrence than you did Sam Darnold, don't you?
Yeah, a million miles better. You know, Sam Darnold, unfortunately, wow. He has not gotten better. Like, he turned the ball over at USC a lot. There were a lot of teams that were very concerned about that. That has not gotten better. You would think, like, awareness and instincts and mechanics in the pocket would have gotten better, and maybe it will one day. It's just been so choppy so far. We just don't know what's going to happen. You know, they're only one game ahead of, you know, Jacksonville. So if the Jets win a game or two, you know, and don't get Trevor Lawrence, that could obviously materially impact what they do in the offseason.
Mike Tannenbaum joins us here on the show. Mike, last one from me. Dave said a while ago, without even realizing what he was saying, it was actually a smart take. He said
don't let him do this,
loaded.
Mike. I knew it. I'm an NFL savant. I felt it. I looked ahead. I recognized it. I made the statement. They laughed at me. They scoffed at me. And I laugh last. So continue your question now.
So the question is this. In the loaded AFC, I feel like there are two teams that are head and shoulders above the rest, and that's Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Would you agree with that?
I like Kansas City. My concerns with Pittsburgh is
you're an ageist, older quarterback.
Yeah, I never root for anybody getting hurt, but Ben Roethlisberger doesn't look like the same guy to me. Much the way Drew Brees got hurt, Ben Roethlisberger, it's hard for me to think that he's going to be standing after 16 games. Now, if he's there, absolutely. Those skilled players, they've done a brilliant job. And I think Claypool may have a chance to be better than all those guys, but to me, it's Kansas City, and then you can draw a line.
Mike, I'm going to stay in the AFC and go to the South. It's a two-horse race in that division. Who comes out as the winner, Indy or the Titans?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Titans despite last Thursday, Chris, just because I just trust Tannehill more than Rivers. And they've done a great job on defense in Indy. That Buckner trade was a huge trade. They trade first-round pick, got a guy that's really a difference maker. And they have playmakers all over that field. This Bobby Urique is a little bit underrated, this linebacker from Stanford with Leonard. And I think their defense is underrated, but I think Phillip Rivers is close to the end as well.
Mike, is always a treat to talk to you. And again, I know you gave a plug before, but I mean, you sound extra hydrated and refreshed today. So I just was hoping you could tell me why that is.
And we're going to obviously have to get some more extra because...
Yeah, I've received none, by the way. I've received none.
All right. Well, I will get that fixed. I will get that fixed for sure. So next time you could be talking about how good X2 performance is, and I'll work on that between now and next Tuesday.
Mike, as always, it's a pleasure. We'll talk to you then.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Good stuff. That is Mike Tenenbaum. The Mike Tenenbaum Report, brought to you by Fidelis Care. Fidelis Care offers quality, affordable health insurance coverage for children and adults of all ages. Call 888 Fidelis or text 711. Or visit FideliCare.org. Do you realize that there's 2 6-3 teams right now in the AFC that will not make the postseason, Rick?
Well, because it's loaded. I mean, it's a loaded AFC.
You know, you can continue to mock it, but you have to admit it. It's a loaded conference.
Yeah, there's a lot of mediocre teams in the AFC.
It's loaded. Loaded.
There's one really good team and then a bunch of mediocre.
You will never admit it.
Someone could offer you money, you
would not admit it.
No, never. I don't know what Ben Roethlisberger did to Mike, but he is not. He does not like Ben Roethlisberger.
And I got to tell you, Chris, he was sensational on Sunday.
Well, Roethlisberger was good, but I get where Mr. T is coming from. Like, I just feel like based on the injury and knowing that, you know, older quarterbacks have a hard time, you know, staying healthy as the year wears on, like, you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to Roethlisberger. Like, we're waiting for something to happen. That doesn't mean it will, but, I mean, I think that's what Mike Tannenbaum is hedging against.
He's an agent.
But the Steelers look great. I mean, the Steelers, I was wrong on that one. I undervalued them coming into this year. That defense is probably one of the top five defenses in the National Football League. And if they continue to do what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you could absolutely see a scenario when it's them and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game.
All right, so give me the divisions right now. Who's your winner of the AFC East?
I got the Dolphins.
You go Dolphins?
Yep.
Rick, where are you going?
I would stick with Buffalo.
Yeah, I would as well. The North has got to be Pittsburgh.
Steelers.
Right? Yep. Yep. Right, Rick, you agree?
Yeah.
South, Titans or Colts?
I go Colts.
I trust Tennessee more.
Yeah, so do I. And I think we all agree that the Chiefs in the West, right?
Yes.
This is an interesting game. Chiefs-Raiders is going to be an interesting game with the conversations coming out of Andy Reid's locker room. Did you hear that stuff with the Raiders took a victory lap around Arrowhead?
So this is a statement game for the Chiefs, you think?
It feels like it, yeah.
I see what you're doing. Today's Tuesday, and you're already revving the engines. You're going to take the Chiefs this week.
He's doing it, Dave.
You feel it as well, right?
Well, I got the Chiefs -6.5. I mean, I feel like they're going to beat down the Raiders.
You know, every time you look at the Raiders, you're like, well, they're not this, they're not that, Carr, this, they're 6-3.
No, I understand that, but you haven't
and
seen
they
a
beat the Chiefs.
But you haven't seen a motivated Chiefs team yet.
Yeah, you're right.
Like I would, one of the teams that I would choose not to piss off for any reason or give any extra motivation would be
Kansas City.
Yes,
they just have a different gear, man.
Especially
everybody
off a bye.
Else. Different,
especially
gear.
Coming off a bye.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
Terrifying.
They are terrifying. And the Michael Kay Show's 20 in 20 contest continues today at 3 o'clock. The Kay Show has talked to the biggest sports celebrities in the game, and you have to, all you have to do is recognize their voices. Make sure you're listening for your chance at 20 great prizes over 20 days to make sure your home life is a little bit more enjoyable. Today, the guys are giving away a Yeti backpack cooler.
Woo!
It's the 20 in 20 contest brought to you by PC Richard & Son, Kansas City Steak, the Bartesian Premium Cocktails on Demand, and 98.7 ESPN. All right, Rick, are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, a little CMT. Now, I also have been receiving CMTs from the listeners at Rothenberg ESPN, so if there's some time at the end, I can throw those your way as well.
Continue well, let's make time. I'm sure you guys will agree across the board on a couple of these, so we'll have plenty of time.
Stop it.
Well, if they're baby questions, then we probably will.
All right, here we go. Let's go. Best win of last week's slate, including Monday night's game against Baltimore in New England. I'm going to give you the Giants, the Rams, and Indy. Best win.
I'll give you honors, Dave.
I can't help myself.
You're going Giants, Mario.
I mean, listen, I've been waiting forever to say it, so let me say it, and you can make a drop out of it. I will marry the Giants.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
It's true. Listen, they played it. They needed it. They were desperate for it. They came out, and for the first time in forever, started well, finished well. Great win. Important win for the Giants. I will cuddle the Rams.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
They continue to have the number of the Seahawks, and they are now in great position to potentially win that division. So I will cuddle the LA Rams, and no slight meant towards Indy because it was a terrific win, but of the three, the least impressive in my mind, and that is Indy beating Tennessee.
Well, yeah, because you feel like Tennessee's punter cost them an opportunity to win the game, which he did, but I guess that's the reason I got to go with that win, and I'll cuddle that win for the Indianapolis Colts just because it wasn't a game that I expected the Colts to be very competitive in, especially on a short week, but they came out to play. I mean, so you got to give credit where credit is due. I am going to marry the win from the Giants because before Sunday we said that it was just dreams.
Beautiful.
About this team being able to compete for the division, but now that they've tied the Eagles in the win column, like, you could actually see a path where that happens, where they win the NFC East. So I'll marry that one. And I hate to do this because it was a solid win by the Rams, but I got to trash that one. They beat a division opponent at home. That's what you're supposed to do if you're a good team. They still got to go up to Seattle later in the season, so we'll see what happens. But I know that Russell Wilson won't turn the ball over three times in that game.
Did you see, speaking of Seattle and how bad their defense is, have you seen the video of Jamal Adams?
Yes.
Yeah, it's bad.
Attempting to tackle. Was it Malcolm Brown going into the end zone?
He was not attempting to do anything.
I mean, that was embarrassing.
Yeah, embarrassing is right.
And you see Pete Carroll talk to him on the bench right after that.
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, he's supposed to be your most impactful defensive player.
He's supposed to be the best safety in football, and he's far from that right now.
He was looking out for his own safety. All right, here we go. Best running back duo in the National Football League. I'm going to give you Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you Jones and Williams in Green Bay. And then I'm going to give you Cook and Madison in Minnesota.
Cook and Madison. You said Jones and Fournette in Tampa?
No, Fournette didn't play.
Jones and Williams in Green Bay?
Yeah, and then Hunt and Chubb in Cleveland.
I mean, you got to marry Hunt and Chubb, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have to. You absolutely have to.
I wouldn't marry them.
It's Hunt and Chubb. And then I'll cuddle Dalvin Cook and Madison.
Bombs and
just because Dalvin Cook has been otherworldly. I mean, he's one of the top three running backs in the National Football League right now. And you can make an argument that he's the best. And then I will, I hate to do this, but I will discard Jones and Williams in Green Bay. Got a lot of respect for Aaron Jones. Like what he brings to the table, but of these three, of this trio, that's the duo that I would trash.
All right, at the lack of wasting any time, I will agree across.
Agree
just,
across
I mean, it's such
board.
An easy question. I'll just agree simply across agree the across the board. Thank you.
All right, here we go. Best rookie receiver. Best rookie receiver. You saw Justin Jefferson last night. He's fantastic. Mike Tannenbaum mentioned Chase Claypool. And then I'm going to give you T. Higgins. So Jefferson, Claypool, Higgins.
Now, I don't know that we're going to agree here. This is a legitimate question. You've done well by yourself here because this is no layup. Boy, I love all these guys. Mm-hmm. I will marry, and I think Chris is going to disagree with me, but the more I see him, the more I like him. I'm going to marry T. Higgins.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry
him. I think that combination of Burrow and Higgins will be sensational for the next decade. I will cuddle Justin Jefferson, who just wows
bombs
you consistently.
And fallacious seeds.
But again, Jefferson not playing with a quarterback that's going to be his quarterback, and neither is Claypool. So as good as Claypool is, you could argue he's the third best receiver on that team. I will trash Chase Claypool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, one man's trash is another one's treasure. I'm going to marry Chase Claypool.
If it was socially acceptable, I would
marry
them.
He's big, he's fast, he's productive. I'm not sure exactly what you're looking for. You can get him the ball in a lot of different ways. I mean, everything that you would want a wide receiver to do, Chase Claypool is capable of doing it. So I'll marry him. I'll cuddle Justin Jefferson.
Bombs,
I mean, Dave, you said it.
Season.
He's not playing with a guy that's going to be his quarterback long term, but I mean, he's able to do what he's shown with playing with a quarterback that's average at best in Kirk Cousins. So, I don't think the 672 yards receiving and three touchdowns is a flash in the pan. I think he's only going to get better, especially when he gets better quarterback play. So I'll cuddle him. And as much as I like the combination of Burrow and Higgins, I'm going to trash T. Higgins in this.
All right, here we go. Let's
happy
reassess.
Rick? You happy now?
I'm happy.
Now we disagree. You like that?
I love it. Easy Kirk Cousins.
See what you did, Dave.
I want some controversy. All right, here we go. Let's recalibrate MVP. I feel like Russell Wilson has slipped.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you Pat Mahomes.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yep, best white quarterback in the NFL. I'm going to give you Pat Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's old, but he's having a hell of a season. Ben Roethlisberger.
All right. Now, when we agree on this, are you going to whine or you're going to just accept this?
No, I'm going to accept that. I just wanted to ask the question.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris. You're up.
I mean, I'm...
You married Mahomes. I know. Marry him.
You're saying I should marry Mahomes?
Ooh.
Rico.
You could marry Rodgers.
Rico.
Ooh.
I'm telling you, man. I feel like this might be full-blown love.
I'll say this.
In terms of importance to their team, I feel like Aaron Rodgers' level of importance to Green Bay might be more in the short term than Pat Mahomes with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
So I'm going to marry Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to cuddle right up next to Pat Mahomes. And
bombs
for the sake of this conversation, Dave and I probably both agree, you got to trash Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Garbage. Look at this garbage.
I am shocked, and he did what you're so desperate and calling for every week. He probably went against his better judgment and played to your narrative,
love.
Rick. But
I think he realizes that when you look at Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers has to be Aaron Rodgers, or they don't.
He's in the conversation, absolutely. But to me, this isn't even a question. I will, on a knee, get down and propose to one Patrick Mahomes. I mean, he's unbelievable. And then, the next two are easy. I will cuddle Aaron Rodgers, and he's had a good year. He's a good quarterback, but he's not in the same class as the other two, and that would be to trash Big Ben.
You know, the problem with this, Rico, the problem with this is when I say that I would marry Aaron Rodgers over Pat Mahomes in the MVP conversation, people take that to mean that if I was starting a team, I would pick Aaron Rodgers over Pat Mahomes.
Ridiculous.
I wouldn't do that.
No,
I just think that Kansas City, top to bottom, is a better team than Green Bay.
Yeah, listen, I would pick Pat Mahomes, but I can't argue against that.
Yeah.
Although Aaron Rodgers let me down because they just sleptwalked through the
They won the game.
They barely won that game.
They sleptwalked through.
Had him in Survivor. I was sweating it at the end.
All right. I asked you guys to look at the retro jerseys.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some I love. There's some I hate. I'm going to give you the Tri-State area. Of the three, Islanders, Rangers, Devils. Cuddle, marry, trash.
Islanders, Rangers, Devils. All right. So Anthony sent these to me.
You want me to kick it off, Dave? Because I got it teed up already.
Let's do that hockey.
I got to tell you this, Rico, and it's not just because I'm a Rangers fan, but I love the Rangers retro jersey. That's dope. With the Statue of Liberty on the front, like that's dope. I love that one. I will cuddle the Islanders retro jersey because I feel like it's just a classic look. And then I am going to trash the Devils retro jersey. I'm not a big fan of the red and green color combination. It ain't Christmas time all the time.
All right. I'm going to also marry. I mean, how can you go wrong by choosing Lady Liberty? The answer is you can't, and that's where I will marry. I'm glad the Islanders went in this direction and not the Gordon's Fisherman, because that was a horrendous look. And I hear there was talk about that, but they went with the classic look. So I will also cuddle the Islanders. And I don't feel as strongly anti the Devils. I actually like the green and red combination, but I think it pales a little bit in comparison to the other two. So I will trash the Devils.
All right, here we go. Now, this isn't CMT related, but I got this story and I thought it was interesting because we have Thanksgiving coming right around the corner. Mm-hmm. What do you think the favorite side dish of New York State is? Favorite side dish of New York State.
All right, so the turkey is your staple. And everything besides turkey is on the table.
Everything besides turkey is on the table. Yes, correct.
I mean, it could be mashed potatoes. Now, is stuffing is considered a side?
Correct.
Could be mac and cheese. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I'm gonna say. I lean towards stuffing, man. How could you have Thanksgiving dinner without the stuffing?
You can't.
You can't. So I mean, I couldn't imagine. You can't. It's hard to make a case for anything else that would be the side piece for the turkey other than the stuffing, like the main side chick to the turkey. Like it has to be the stuffing.
Yeah, it probably is, but I don't know. The way he asked that question. It could be yams. I don't think this is so cut and dry.
I think you're overthinking it. You're overthinking it.
Is it stuffing?
It's stuffing, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's stuffing. The most mashed potatoes were the country's most popular side dish. The next most was mac and cheese. What get real interesting here is, and this was all based on like Google searches, like what recipes people were searching. Maine, most popular side dish. You'd think, I mean, what, you guys had some good ones. Stuffing, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes. You had some, you know, we had some sweet potato casserole. We had some green bean casserole. Maine was side salad.
Oh, come on. You can always have a salad.
Why are you Googles? Yeah, but who Google searches how to make a side salad?
Oh, that's
give
awful.
Me side salad.
That is
ridiculous.
Brutal. Side salad. I'm going to have that for dinner tonight, a side salad. Not on Thanksgiving night. I'm going to go out of my way to avoid the side salad,
Rico,
on Thanksgiving
night. Can I just put one thing out there, though, Rico? If you're Googling a recipe for macaroni and cheese, please don't invite me to your Thanksgiving dinner. Like, the macaroni and cheese is not for the rookie, not for the novice. Like, you have to have some experience. Like, you had to done this for a while, and I'm going to probably need a reference or two. Before I'm going to trust your mac and cheese.
Yeah, unless, I mean, you can understand. Like, if I have to make a vegan macaroni and cheese, I will have to Google the vegan mac and cheese.
I appreciate you doing that for me, by the way. Yeah. Thank you. Once upon a time.
Like, the mac and cheese got to be, that's like a grandma, that's like Nana's recipe mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Just passed on from.
All right, can I ask you a couple that the listeners have sent in to me?
I would love for you to participate.
Okay, here we go. Birdman JR, who gets a contract first? Cuddle Mary Trash. Darnold? Jones Mayfield. Darnold Jones Mayfield.
I'm going to probably say Mayfield. I would marry Mayfield just because he was the first overall pick, and it's getting to the point now where they're going to have to make a decision on his fifth-year option. And if that team makes the playoffs, then chances are they're going to exercise that option, but that will be a part of an extension. So I would marry Mayfield. I'd probably cuddle Sam just because I think, you know, the Jets are going to clearly decline his option if they get the first overall pick, and they're going to trade him, and then whatever team that he goes to, we'll see it on a one-year prove it, but there'll be a contract after that. I think Jones is a few seasons away from a contract.
Wow.
So I trash it.
Whew. I would probably agree with that. I would probably agree with what Candy said.
You agree across the board? San Diego says break. I just have one more 20 seconds. Go quickly. Who wins more championships in the next 10 years? Dodgers, Yankees, Mets.
I know how I want to answer this question, but I don't have a lot of confidence. I would marry the Dodgers, Dave, and I want to say I'd cuddle the Yankees.
But you can't.
But I can't. So I'm not going to answer the rest of it.
I love it. Rick?
I'm going to marry the Mets, baby.
Yes!
Wow.
I love it. I don't care. The other answers don't matter.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. All right. Today on ESPN Daily, NBA trade chaos has begun. Adrian Wojnarowski has the latest, plus insight on his new series about MVP Giannis's 2013 draft experience. On ESPN Daily, subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. We've done such a beautiful job in allowing ourselves to have some time in this segment that we can take a call or two. So why don't we do that and bring in Cullum in the Bronx, because what's a day without Cullum? You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Humpty, Canty, Rossi. How are you guys doing?
We are
doing fantastic.
Really quick, I just wanted to make a comment. You guys said earlier in the show about with the Knicks and Nets. I think regardless if James Harden goes to the Nets, I think no matter what, MSG versus Yes, when those games are on, the Knicks are going to get a better number this year regardless. I think the Nets will probably get a better national number when they're on ESPN or TNT, but there's going to be more people still watching the Knicks even with James Harden. And personally, I hope they get James Harden because what Don said.
I disagree with that.
I think it would be an absolute debacle.
I disagree with that. I disagree with that. Colm, I disagree with that. I think the NBA. I think fandom has changed too. Is a lot. I mean, especially the younger generation of kids root more for players than teams.
Yeah.
I mean, between Kevin Durant and then how many kids love James Harden? I mean, you don't think that more people are going to be watching the Nets?
Under range, in my opinion, if it's guaranteed a championship and superstar, people don't watch those teams. Like you don't watch the regular everyday Warrior games, in my opinion.
You're gonna have Knicks fans watching those. Watching those games, though.
Yeah, Knicks fans are gonna watch because I think there's hope this year for some reason.
Knicks fans are gonna watch the Nets games.
Oh no!
Everybody's gonna watch.
You're not
the
gonna
Nets.
Want to
if,
see
if
that.
They bring in if they have Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. You're gonna want to watch them almost every night that you can.
Now I'm saying it now. Wait till the ratings come out in those first 10-15 games that are on that are not nationally televised, and I bet you the Knicks get higher numbers with games.
Yeah, when there's actual hope until you realize
right
the Knicks
exactly
stink.
Once that's beaten
you
out
just
of the
use
fan
the first
base,
10 games.
Everybody's going to turn to Yes to watch the Nets.
I love Cullum too. That's not one of his finer.
He typically calls Cullum, a better point.
Plus, I don't know why Cullum is going by another name on the other shows. I mean, if he's going to be Cullum on our airwaves, he needs to be Cullum across all the shows.
So when he calls other shows, he calls himself Dempsey?
Yeah. I caught that.
I don't like that.
I like Cullum. He's got like the Lord of the Rings vibe when he calls himself Cullum. I like it.
I like the name Cullum. It stands out. Name before.
You know what I don't like? Have you seen this McDonald's commercial yet where the guys rush into the boat? You seen that yet?
No, I hadn't seen that one.
No.
Yeah, everyone's seen it. And the guy's like, he forgot extra napkins. The commercial for some reason drives me crazy.
Forgot extra napkins?
Yeah, if I go get you McDonald's and then I'm sprinting to the boat to bring you your McDonald's and the only thing you can say to me is, you forgot the extra napkins? Guess where your sandwich is going? Right in the ocean.
No, I haven't seen that.
Let me check the bag. You sure there's no napkins? And spike it right in the ocean.
So is it an enticing ad or is it just a bad commercial?
It makes me angry, the ad.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? You just brought it up on air.
No, I know. I saw it this morning.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.